Activia offers a range of yogurts which are a delicious way to look after your gut health. From the fruit range with carefully selected ingredients to no added sugar and 0% fat offering, as well as a cereals range, there's an Activia for everyone. Made with a unique blend of 5 ferments, creating an irresistibly creamy texture, each pot of Activia is a source of calcium, making it the perfect addition to your daily routine. Activia helps support a healthy gut. Your gut is where it all begins.
The annual Easy Living Furniture Roadshow Sale ends this Sunday. This is your last chance to save big, as absolutely everything is reduced across sofas, dining, bedroom and accessories. We've got everything you need to create the perfect living space with affordable prices and unbeatable quality. And with interest-free finance available, now really is the time to visit your local Easy Living Furniture store. Don't miss out. Find your local store online at easylivingfurniture.ie.
You're listening to Real Health with me, Carl Henry, in association with Activia. Activia offers a range of yogurts that help support a healthy gut. Your gut is where it all begins. Welcome to Real Health with me, Carl Henry. Folks, you're going to love today's episode. I'm a bit nervous about it, I won't lie. Anytime I meet my next guest, I get a bit nervous. I think, what is my car loan? What is my APR? What is my mortgage rate? Anyway, he's lovely and he's going to tell us all how to get financially fit. If you're sick of penny pinching to the payday, what are the steps to securing a mortgage and lots more? I'm delighted to be joined once again by Owen McGee, podcaster, author, Instagram financial expert and presenter of the Complaints Bureau, a brand new TV show starting on RT1 on Thursday the 7th of March. Owen, I'm nervously delighted to have you here. How are you?
The same as myself. When I'm walking into the room, I'm going, how much weight have I got on compared to the last time I seen Carl?
Let's start really basic, because people love, anytime you come in, people love the episode because you've just no-nonsense approach to it. The basic steps of getting financially fit. Let's start there.
Yeah. So I think it's a good time of year this time of year. It's the start of the year. You're now kind of going, okay, I'm settled in. Maybe I went on a big kind of health fitness, went after that from the start of the year, and that stuff is now either in a routine or wherever you are with it, right? And now it's a good time to say, right, where do I want to be this time next year with my finances? Do I want to be controlling it, or do I want my money to be controlling me? And depending on the relationship you have with your money, you will recognize what one of those two symptoms, either it controls me or I control it. And the nice thing about money is you can just literally turn it on. It's not like you have to build up to it, right? You can just turn it on and say, I'm going to start controlling my money.
And now, you set the target of whatever, 12 months down the line or whatever.
And absolutely. And the thing about it is that no different than fitness, and I'll come off that now in a second, no different than fitness, doing anything is better than doing nothing, right? And doing a small bit and just getting it right will allow you to get stuck into it and start to take control of it. But the best way of doing it and the most consistent way of doing it and the one that's going to be resilient to change is to do little bits regularly, right? So jump in. And if you're listening to this right now, do yourself a favor, right? I'm going to take the lowest hanging fruit. Go get, when you've stopped listening to this, promise yourself you're going to give yourself 3 minutes to jump online or to go to the drawer in your house and find your gas and or your electricity bill.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Okay, yeah.
And give yourself a 15-minute challenge that you're going to take your gas and or electricity bill. You're going to go on to CRU.ie. Now, that's the regulator. So I'm not promoting any individual company. Yeah. They regulate the utilities companies. CRU, it's a government agency. They will have a list of switcher companies. Sit down with your gas and or electricity bill. Find a switcher company. These companies' job is to move you from one gas provider to another provider, or electricity provider, you know what I mean, right? From one to the other. They are competing with each other to make it really simple for you. They're trying to, because the simpler it is for you to do it with them, the more chance you're going to come back the next year and the year after. Sit down. I would suggest it'll take no more than 15 minutes and you'll probably save around €300 twice that, or maybe €500 if you're moving both. But 85% of the people I come across suffer with what we call Parkinson's Law, right? So Parkinson's Law is, a job will take as much time as you give it. So a job expands to fill the time you give it. So if you've an hour to cut the grass, it takes an hour. If you've 3 hours to cut the grass, it takes 3 hours. If you make 100 grand a year, you'll spend 100.
Oh, yeah,
if you make 200
grand
a year, you'll spend 200, okay? So your lifestyle, it's called lifestyle creep, your lifestyle expands to the income you have. If you've just identified savings of €300 because you've moved your gas or electricity bill, that's 25 quid a month, right? Now, you can either allow your lifestyle to expand and in 12 months' time, you won't feel it at all. Mm-hmm. Or you can say, you know what, that 25 quid is to go off debt or is to get myself a takeaway once a month or whatever. But be very definitive about what you do with that savings because that's the thing that spurs you on to find another saving. I do want to be really careful. People like me come on podcasts like this and we talk, oh, it's all about saving money and penny pinching.
Yeah, yeah.
We all have to understand the difference between our conscious spending and our subconscious spending, okay? And anyone who follows me on Instagram or has been following will know, oh, here he goes again. But it's so important. So conscious spending and subconscious spending is the difference between when you walk into a shop to buy a bottle of Diet Coke. I know you never do that, right? You walk into a shop to buy a bottle of Diet Coke and you walk out with a Diet Coke and a pack of crisps.
Oh, yeah.
And we all go through life with a whole pile of subconscious spending. So, like, you're walking by a coffee shop. I just like that coffee and you buy that one. Mm-hmm. And you didn't really want the coffee, you just mm-hmm. bought it, right? So for the next week, challenge yourself. Don't change your spending in any way. Keep your spending exactly the same. But every time you spend money, take out your phone, go into Notes if it's Apple. I don't know what the equivalent is on Android. And write down Diet Coke. $2.25.
Oh, yeah. Right? Spend diary.
Yeah, spend diary and put the thing in the amount. Don't change your spending habits. This day next week, take out your phone, pen and piece of paper. Something happens to our brain when we use a pen and piece of paper. Line down the middle, conscious spending, subconscious yep. spending. Okay? Both headings. Or some people prefer to put it as added value, didn't add value to my life. Okay? So the first coffee of the morning can often add value to your life. What does the seventh? So they might be the same thing on two different sides of the page, right? And what you're trying to do there is you're trying to identify all the stuff that you're spending in your life, whether it's a pair of jeans that you didn't need or whatever it is, all the stuff that you're spending money on that's not adding any value to your mm-hmm. life. Because if you strip that out, you still have the same enjoyment out of life, but you have more money to spend on the good stuff, okay? Most people don't know Jennifer Zamparelli, and I'm always calling her out on this, right? Jennifer Zamparelli, 2FM presenter. She says to me, "Oh, you must be miserable. You're a financial planner. What do you like on a night out?" And my answer to that is,
I've been out with you, so I know you're all right. Yeah.
And my answer to that is, I'm not miserable. I'm very careful about my subconscious spending
yeah.
in order to have more money for my conscious spending. Mm-hmm. And actually, an interesting stat on that, because I think the last time I was in here was before we knew about pandemics and lockdowns and mm-hmm. everything else. In the month of March 2020, okay,
which so is the month of the pandemic.
The start, yeah, the yeah. very, so it was kind of 19th or 17th or 19th yeah. of March was the first lockdown. The month of March 2020, as a nation, all the households combined were saving €443 million combined.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so all the households, 400, nothing to do with company savings or anything, just households combined. The month of April 2020, the first full month of lockdown. So think about it. All your subconscious spending was stripped out. You walked into a supermarket, you walked in a list, you got the list, and you got out quick, right? All the subconscious spending was gone. We saved 3,000 million. We saved €3 billion in the month of April 2020 because there's a whole pile of stuff that we didn't spend money on during the pandemic that we didn't miss.
Yep.
And I'm talking about, there are certain people, I can't get through my day unless that barista makes that coffee for me or else I'm going to be cranky and you don't want to be around
me. They smile at you and they make you feel better, you know?
Yeah, but also then, those people then were working from home and they made their own coffee and they survived, right? So what I would always say is when you're thinking about, during lockdown, I actually asked my Instagram followers, I put a poll up and says, what do you miss most? Right? And people said, I miss coffee, I miss coffee with the mates, pints with the lads. Let's just be really generic here, right? Pints with the lads, drinks with the girls, whatever, right? Meals, hotel stays. And when I looked through, the top five things that people missed most were people. That was the only thing that connected them. It was people missed doing things with other people. And the same goes for people as it goes with money. There was things that you were missing in your life during lockdown that you weren't spending money on. You shouldn't. And make this be a wake-up call. Did you let them creep back in? Because if you did, ask yourself, guilty. Should you get rid of them?
For those who are listening, I'll have my hand up in the air. Guilty
but also, Carl, there was people that you didn't miss during lockdown. And if you've let them creep back into your life, question that too. And today, if you're listening to this, view that as a call to action for yourself. Who do I need to strip out of my life or just spend? You don't have to be cruel about it, but just spend less time with. Who am I not getting with? But also from a financial perspective, what have I let creep back into my life that I just didn't miss? And it's not adding value to my life.
So you've done your list. You've done your tracking over the course of the week. Presumably the next thing then is to spreadsheet that. in some way, shape, or form towards that kind of control element of that 12-month, or is that a bit, no, I do a spreadsheet because I like a good spreadsheet.
Yeah, I think the word spreadsheet will scare people, right? Yeah. So if you're into spreadsheets, that's where you're naturally going to go to, right?
Like a good spreadsheet.
Yeah, look, I'm from the same camp, right?
We moved house, into our new house about a year and a bit ago. So in year one, it was like getting to know the house from a money perspective in terms of the running, because it was 0-6 house, whatever. So it was the running of the house in terms of the fuel and the electricity. Yeah. So my big spreadsheet thing and all the numbers in it. And now in year two, the goal is to bring it all down by 10 or 15% through the new boiler or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's my new, I go to my spreadsheet once a week. And like I can see the numbers changing and can see that number at the bottom. All of a sudden we've less to contribute into that to make the house work.
And that's where you've started to make the savings. It's important to now recognise, what do I do with that now?
Yeah.
Where else do I go with that money? Some people will know straight away, if you've got any what I call crappy debt, so you have happy debt and crappy debt.
Yeah.
Happy debt is low interest rates, generally used to buy things that go up in value over long periods of time, a mortgage for a house. Crappy debt is high interest rates, very expensive, easy to get your hands on, and is usually used...
What would be considered high now?
Well, if you think about it from a mortgage perspective, in and around 4 or 5% is typical for a mortgage, yeah. That's not unusual at all, yeah. I'm sure someone's going to write in and say, well, actually, the average is this, but it's in and around 4 or 5%. Don't call me out on it, right? Wow. Because it'll be different next month anyway with this. But 4 or 5% is in and around normal. But then crappy debt is anything beyond mortgages in my mind, right? Wow. Car loans, personal loans, credit cards. Overdraft is a loan. People don't think that overdrafts. Yeah. Credit cards are a loan.
Yeah.
So typically, car loans, personal loans are somewhere between kind of 8 and 10-ish. Overdrafts are around 15%. Credit cards are around 20 to 23%.
15%?
Yeah, for an overdraft, yeah. And you're up around 20%+ for a credit card. The ones that catch people out, the really, really expensive ones are, I'm not going to mention any companies here, right? So you can relax.
Okay.
But the companies that, you know, when you're shopping online and you can buy in these shops, you can buy anything from a pair of shoes to a dress to a TV, right? So most people know where I'm talking about here. That's not unusual to see 42, 43%, right?
Stop.
So if you think about that, you buy a TV there for 1,000 euros and just in simple interest terms, you don't pay that 1,000 euros back over a 12-month period.
Yeah.
It's going to cost you about 420 euros in interest in a year, right? So that's crappy debt. And most people, when they identify savings, if they have crappy debt, that's where they need to focus their
extra. Okay, so you do an analysis on what you're spending, then you do you track it then, and then you try and improve it by the switching websites like you mentioned earlier on.
Yeah.
And then you try and get that, that's generating some form of saving. So then it's about what you do with that saving.
It's exactly what
you
do.
And you get rid of the crappy debt first, ideally.
Crappy debt is typically, before you go near crappy debt, the first thing you need is a buffer.
Yeah.
Right? So buffer, and I jumped into crappy debt straight away, but buffer is one of, it's basically your financial security blanket, right?
Okay, give me a normal buffer.
So a normal buffer, the ideal buffer is 3 to 6 months take-home pay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so if your take-home pay is 2,000 euros a month, you should have somewhere between 6 and 12,000 euros. You need 6 months if you're like a freelancer or a contractor and maybe
you're
self-employed and you get paid 1 month and then you mightn't get paid for 3 months.
Oh,
you need 6 months for that, right? If you're a civil servant, two-income household, both civil servants, you need 3. So you'll know yourself 3 months, somewhere in between the two. Then people could be listening to this going, oh my God, like I need 3 months take-home pay. That's huge. 1,000 euros. If you just get yourself to the goal of 1,000, 1,500 euros, just to get yourself
just
started.
Sitting there.
Yeah, just sitting there. And it's a real financial privilege to have it. But when do you use the buffer is the important thing. So what you do when the times you use the buffer are the times that if you didn't have the buffer, you'd reach for the credit card.
Oh yeah.
Okay. It might be a good thing or it might be a bad thing.
I got rid of my credit card following you on Instagram.
Good.
Both
good. I'm glad.
One and the personal.
Someone said to me on Instagram last week, do I get death threats from the credit card companies? I'm not on their credit card list or their Christmas card list.
I took the scissors to it. Yeah.
But no.
And actually, when I had my credit card, I ticked the box when I took it out, which was that I cleared it.
Every month.
So it never built up.
Yeah,
ever.
I did figures the other day. People think, oh, you pay the minimum. That's they only ask me to pay 2% or 5%.
Yeah.
If you're paying 2%, it's going to take you 11 and a half years to clear the loan off. It's a loan. Credit cards are a loan.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I would say is...
get your buffer.
You get your buffer in place.
Yeah.
The times that you need to reach for the credit card, now you reach for your buffer instead. Mm-hmm. Right? So it might be a good thing about it. Good thing might be you get invited to a wedding. Okay? And that's great. Delighted. Haven't seen them since school. I've no idea where they're bringing me, but I'm going to go anyway and I'll catch up with a lot of people. But you weren't financially prepared for it, right?
Yep.
Now, if it's your sister getting married, you should have been financially prepared for it, right? But that's how it works. the negative might be, the bad thing might be the boiler goes and you need to replace it.
Yeah.
Okay. And the idea here is, now I'll give you a perfect example. The tires need replacing on the car.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And let's just make up a number. It's 480 quid to replace the tires. And you think about it, you say, you know what? It was actually this time last year that I had to replace the tires the last time. I'm not financially prepared for this. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to take 480 euros out of my buffer. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to use, whether it's one of the fintech banks, I'm talking about the Revoluts, the N26, the OnPulse Money, I'm going to set up a space, a wallet, a vault, one of these things in here called replacing my tires.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to put 40 quid a month into it. And then I'm going to have 480 euros in there this time next year. And now me needing to replace my tires is no longer a financial surprise. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when you dip into the buffer, you have to do two things. First of all, financial priority number one is to get the buffer back up to where you need it.
Yep.
And the other thing is to set up some type, if it's a thing that's going to occur again, work out when it's going to occur again and put the money to one side. And then when the more you use a buffer, okay, the less financial surprises you get, funny enough. Like things that aren't financial surprises that people claim are like Christmas. That's not a financial surprise. This happens every year. Back to school is a really tough one. One in three people this summer sitting in, or next September, sitting in or standing in the playground watching their little Johnny or little Mary run into school. One in three of them will have a loan for sending little Johnny.
For school?
Yeah, for sending them back to school.
Go on.
Yeah. And what I would say is if you end up in that trap where you have to borrow each year to send your child back to school and to pay for stuff, try and just, and it doesn't matter whether it's back to school or what it is, right? When you find yourself consistently repeatedly borrowing.
Or you have a bill coming.
Yeah, you have a bill coming that you end up borrowing
every
for.
Every year it stresses you out when it rocks in the door in with the envelope.
Yeah. Yes. And school is a great example. If you borrow this year, if you're going to borrow this year for school, then what you need to do is try your best to just borrow the money over 6 months. Okay. You borrow the money over 6 months, and then the second 6 months, rather than paying back the credit union, the bank, wherever it is, pay it to yourself. Set up an account for the second 6 months. Even if you borrow it all and put a little bit extra and try and cover some of the cost. And I know we're talking about a couple of months away, but even today, if you think about it, if you're listening to it now and it's 6 months until back to school, putting 25 quid a month or a fiver a month is still better than putting nothing away.
I've noticed that with my kids, right? So I put X amount into an account each month. You're going to give out to you for this now, but I'm going to tell you. So every month they get a nominal amount, not much, into an account. I got my son's bank statement there the other day. He fell off the chair.
Yeah. It just builds
more
up.
More money than I have.
Yeah, no, it's just absolutely, it builds up so quickly.
And you don't actually... It's not a month. You don't really, like a 25 quid or a 50 quid, you don't, a month, you don't really miss it.
But you've just described in real time lifestyle creep, Parkinson's law. You've just described.
Because you adapt your lifestyle to it.
And this is what, we have my private practice, right? Prosperous.ie, if anyone's interested, right? But there you go. You told me I could plug it if I wanted, right? But my private practice, and I never do that, actually. You just gave me a deal at the start, right? But in private practice, we deal with everybody from, we have three different offerings, but I tend to deal with the people, I deal with the people who maybe have created a lot of wealth for themselves. And
your millionaire pension people on Instagram.
I
see those questions every now and again, and they're like, you know, how do I max out the pension fund? And it's like 2 million to max it out or something.
Yeah.
Like, who has 2 million in a pension fund?
Like I was doing figures the other day, actually doing something this afternoon, I was prepping figures for it. If you're 25 years of age and you want to have a pension pot of €1 million at 65, you need to put 500 a month in now.
500, give me that a year, 6 grand a year.
6 grand a year. If you're 35.
6 grand a year?
Yeah, 6 grand
for €1 million. Yeah.
And that's before the tax man helps you out.
Of course, because I can never make heads or tails of that. I understand that it reduces the tax bill somehow, but I don't really understand.
Well, in really simple terms, for if you're self-employed, it's really easy, right? If you've got a 10 grand tax bill and you put 10 grand into your pension and you're on the higher rate of tax, you only owe the tax man 6 grand now. So you reduce your tax bill by 40% of the contribution made into the pension. And there's limits and all that you have to go into. For the person paying who's a PAYE worker, right, they're getting paid in a payslip. Let's say your take-home pay is €1,000 a month, right? And you put €100 a month into your pension, okay? If you're on the higher rate of tax, the taxman's going to pay 40 of that 100 and you're going to pay 60 of that. So now your take-home pay was €1,000 a month. You've just put €100 into your pension. Now your take-home pay is €940 a month. So your take-home pay has gone down by 60, but you've got 100 into your pension. So that, does that make sense for someone who hasn't understood?
So if you, on that then, if you put 100 quid a month into your pension, you said 500 to a million. So you'd have 200 grand when you're 65. at 100
yeah,
a month,
you'd have
roughly.
200 grand. Yeah, that's 25 year old, right? So let's
that's
say
good going.
Say the target is €1 million is what you want to get to, yeah. right? 500 quid a month will get you to €1 million at 25 years of age. And I've actually been quite conservative there. I haven't increased contributions. It's just a flat.
That's a very mature 25 year old.
Flat 500 euros all the way through.
He's thinking about pensions at 25.
yeah. And actually, auto enrollment is on the way and everyone will be thinking about it then, yeah?
Okay.
We've been waiting for it for a long time. But what do you think a 35 year old has to pay in to get to the same €1 million at 65 years of age? So 10 years later,
10 years in the gap. So you're saying six grand a year. I would go pretty set 800 a month.
1,000 a month.
1,000 to double.
Twice as much.
Wow.
And what I would say, and don't, if you're sitting at 35 going, oh, it's too late for me, it's not.
Well,
right?
Anyone who follows you will know that because you're always saying it's never too late to start a pension.
It's never too early, it's never too late to start a pension. Like we have clients who come in who have the next day they're retiring or not next month or next week or whatever, and we can still do stuff for them with pensions. They may never have put pensions in before. They're brand new clients are going, I'm just coming into retirement. What should I do? You should do this, right? But sorry, coming back to the point about the clients, it wasn't just a straightforward plug. There was a point there, right? Yeah. The clients who are doing incredibly well and they are on top of things, buffer's a game changer for them.
Mm.
Like all of a sudden they're kind of going, oh, well, but Parkinson's law is massive for them. And sometimes they come in and they go, oh, you're going to do to me what you do to people on TV. You're going to tell me I can't spend X, Y, Z. No.
And
no.
It's not about that, sure. It's not about scrimping money and being Spartan with money.
No.
It's about just choosing the right place to put it, whether it's cars. The car one is always, I love cars. They're my big weakness. But it's what you're saying really is that it's okay to put the money in if that's your thing and you consciously love it.
Yes. And you can afford it.
And it's not going into your buffer. Then spend it. So it's important to say to people that you're not saying scrimp on everything and tighten everything. Pick where you spend it.
If you think about a good financial plan, it wouldn't be unusual for us to have a couple that comes in, right? And one of them comes in and says, I'm really worried about putting bread and milk on the table at 75 years of age. Can you help me out?
Yep.
And the other one's like, oh, we could be dead tomorrow. Let's spend it all. A good financial plan looks after the long-term financial future so that you can enjoy today more.
Mm-hmm.
And the higher up the salaries you go, the more it is I'm just going to take that out of your salary. You're not going to miss it because of lifestyle creep or because we're just reversing lifestyle creep. We're reversing Parkinson's law. And then whatever's left over, you spend guilt-free because we've got your short, medium and long-term savings looked after. And that's the goal for everybody when it comes to being in control of their finances. But don't let me kind of put you off saying, oh, he's talking about people with big salaries and everything else. Let's remember, right? And this is a really interesting thing for people to get their head around. I don't actually have the exact figure, so I'm going to absolutely make the figure up, right? But let's say you need 40 grand a year, and I am making that figure up before someone quotes me on it. Let's say you need 40 grand a year in Ireland to have a basic living standard, okay? If you go to 50 grand a year, right? You will have a little bit more, you'll have a little bit more luxury, money to spend on luxuries.
Mm-hmm.
And it does actually increase your happiness. Okay, now, if you go to 20 grand, the basic requirement is 40, right? Then you will be very, very under pressure and it could make you miserable. Okay, so let's recognize that and accept that. But if you're on 40, basic living covered, you get to 50, you do get a good bit happier.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to 100 grand, you're not twice as happy as the person at 50. Happiness and money aren't exponential to each other.
There's an axis, isn't there? There's a point at which they kind of meet, which is, I've enough.
Yeah.
And
I've enough with a little bit to spare.
Yeah.
And there's some great research into happiness and where we are. And there's a US firm that does a research with their really rich clients every year. And we're talking about mega rich here. And 38% of them don't claim that money is a measurement of happiness. Right, they measure it based on actually one of the big ones is time. So when we'd often get lotto winners into the office, right? And we have a lot of winner coming in. It's a big message I'll give them. And the message is the things that made you happy last week are the things that are going to make you happy next week. You just have more time.
Do they all go out and buy the fancy car?
Yeah, a lot of them do. And one of the promises I asked them to make me is we draw up a list and we say, right, here's a list of all the things that you want to buy. And we drew the list together. Tell me what you want to buy. I want to buy this, 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 and this. And I take the list and I say, right, don't promise me you won't do anything until the next time we meet.
Oh, so you've gone beyond your 72-hour rule now.
That's
taken it even further.
Yeah, not only, now we will give them, they've just won the lotto or they've just sold their business or they've just inherited a big, so it's new money, right?
Yeah.
And what I do say to them is, okay, let's give ourselves a cap, right? And let's say they've won a massive amount of money. You might say 10 grand. Spend it as much as you want, provided it doesn't cost more than 10 grand.
Okay.
Don't promise anyone more than 10 grand. Don't promise anyone anything, actually, until we've gone through this process, right? Because sometimes you will sit back and you'll think, oh, this money is absolutely life-changing. But it's not always. People are surprised with how much money is life-changing these days, unfortunately. But the list is really important because you revisit that list a couple of months later. And if they've been good, and they're not always good, they still go out and do stuff.
And that's important for anyone listening, even the non-lotto winners, is that if you have a list of stuff that, you know, that you'd love, you just stick it there in the fridge for 6 months maybe.
Where it's really powerful is 6 months later, I produce the list and I show them the list. They go, oh no, I don't want that anymore. Don't want that anymore. Don't want that anymore.
Yeah.
That was conscious versus subconscious spending. That's all it was. And it's really interesting to see that process where people go through when they come into money for the first time. But I just want to get the message across. It's not exponentially happy they are, right? No. And actually, when you really, really think about it, some of those people who come into new money, whether it's sale of the business, inheritance, whatever it is, you would imagine beforehand, oh, I'd be completely happy if I had all that money, if I had their money. Not. Absolutely.
Yeah, seen those over
and the thing about it is, if you're not happy before it, you won't be happy afterwards.
So if we win the lotto, we're all going to go to you. Tell us about the new show before we let you go.
Yeah, so new show called The Complaints Bureau. Really cool show, actually. Brand new. Anyone who is familiar with How to Be Good at Money, this is a totally new show. 7th of March, Thursday evening, 7 p.m. RT1. We basically, what we have is myself, I present the show, and we've got three great journalists, right? So we've got Connor Pope, Amy Malloy, and Siobhan Maguire. Each week, we get a couple of complaints in. I dish them out and here, Amy, go look after that one. Go look after that one. The guys go off. They do all the research. They do all the engaging with the complaints departments and doing all of that. And then we sit around at the end of it and decide, right, who won? And actually, it's a bit of a comp. So really looking forward to it. It's a brand new concept, brand new format. We haven't gone here before. And it's a great team. Like, absolutely superb team. Working with the three guys has been brilliant. We're still in the middle of filming at the moment. But 7th of March, RTE1, 7 p.m.
Folks, I really hope you enjoyed today's chat with Owen. He's always the man for money. I follow him. I don't always take his advice, but I do try when I see his Q&As on Instagram. So do your money budget. Do your budget for this week. Do your list. Do your conscious and unconscious spending list. Improve it and see where you're going to put those savings that you're going to make. And as ever, we'll see you next week for more Real Health. Slán go fóill.